Now, I've got two or three things I really want to talk to Congressman Banks about, so I don't want to dilly-dally here or anything like that. Congressman Banks, good afternoon to you, sir. Thanks for being here.
Hey, Pat, good to be with you.
So talk to me real quick. You have introduced a Respectful Treatment of Unborn Remains Act. First of all, tell me exactly what it is, and is it not really just nuts that you have to even bring up something like this?
Totally. You know, this was an idea that Kathy Humbarger actually brought to me. You know Kathy very well,
sure.
The longtime president of executive director of Allen County Right to Life, and really the leader of the Right to Life movement throughout Northeast Indiana. This
Correct.
Was an idea that she brought to me and asked me to put into a bill form and introduce it that would stop fetal remains after an abortion from being dumped into our waterways. And what I came to learn from all this, from Kathy and from research, is that this is all too common. One example, in 2015, a pro-life group called Live Action found that in Detroit alone, just in Detroit, nearly 45 different abortion facilities flush baby parts into garbage disposals that went into the sewage system in Detroit. So if it's happening at that level in a big city like Detroit, it's probably happening in a lot of places that throughout the country as well. So my bill would ban that practice, bring some dignity to how those baby parts and remains are disposed of after an abortion, especially as we are on the eve of a historic moment when Roe v. Wade, we hope, will be overturned when this Dobbs decision comes down, Pat. These are the types of laws that we should be passing at the federal level, at the state level, to show that we stand for life and for dignity for women and for the unborn. And it's a bill that we just introduced yesterday, and we're already getting a lot of good feedback from my colleagues and from the media that's covering it and from outside groups as well.
You know, there are some other states that have already started to enact legislation with their legislators and their state senators so that everything is in place for governor signatures so that if, in fact, Roe v. Wade is overturned and the merits and the heft of deciding decisions with regards to abortion go back to the states, and they're trying to be very proactive so that people know where their states stand, I think a lot of people, most legislators in our state stand in that exact same location. I'm not sure that right now they would get much help from up above.
Yeah, I don't get it. I really don't get it. I've known Governor Holcomb for a long time, but I don't know why he has just punted on this issue. I've called on him to bring the legislature back into a special session and address this pending decision. When Roe v. Wade goes down, Indiana needs to, on day one, as soon as that happens, special session, pass a law that says that once there is a heartbeat detected during a pregnancy, ban abortions in Indiana after that point. That would be the easiest thing to do in Indiana as a pro-life state. I know all these legislators like Martin Carbaugh and Chris Judy, Andy Zay. I know all these guys are very pro-life. I know they would vote for that type of legislation. So it's a shame they didn't pass what we call a trigger law during the session when they were in session.
Right.
So that the moment it happens, the law would go into effect. But because they didn't do that, the governor needs to call a special session immediately to address it, to make sure that our pro-life laws are passed to save babies as soon as Roe v. Wade goes down.
You mentioned Kathy Humbarger earlier in the conversation. Of course, Kathy, she has been the strongest, most consistent voice for life in all of Northeast Indiana since I've been doing this program. And I remember a fight that she had back a little ways ago where other states, like, for example, the state of Missouri, were taking waste from abortions, fetal waste, I even hate using the word waste, but fetal parts and bodies, and putting them in 55-gallon drums and then sealing them and then shipping them to Indiana so that they could be put in certain landfills here. And I was like, no, thank you. You can bear the brunt of that crazy thing yourself. I don't want any part of it.
Yeah, it's shameful. It's sad. Kathy Humbarger is a is a champion, as you know, on this issue, not just in Northeast Indiana, but really all over the country. They have pro-life leaders all over the country know Kathy Humbarger because she focuses on issues like these. And my bill, what you're describing, Pat, my bill would stop it. My bill would stop that from happening, passing a federal law that says that you have to dispose of these body parts in a dignified manner. Don't flush them down the toilet. Don't send them down the drain. Don't ship them off to states like Indiana to be sent to landfills. My bill would stop those practices from happening. And I just want to give her credit again. This is Kathy Humbarger's idea. It's a bill idea that she brought to me as her congressman and asked me to introduce in a bill form. And I did that in Congress yesterday. And while we might not get it passed in Nancy Pelosi's Congress,
we will in January.
Speaker, come January, when we get the majority back, this is exactly the type of bill I'm going to fight to make sure that we pass legislation like this when Republicans have the majority again.
January 6th, and the committee's there. The GOP is now eyeing Pelosi as the GOP is weighing payback options for all of these January 6th subpoenas. Is it safe to say, first of all, that the GOP as a whole on Capitol Hill are a little bit furious, and that the relationship now between Pelosi and McCarthy is practically untenable?
That's probably a good way to put it. I mean, the subpoenas that the Democrats and their best friend Liz Cheney issued last week after McCarthy and four other Republicans is unprecedented. But this whole process, I mean, we already know this is a sham committee. It's a political witch hunt. It's a circus. It's designed to change the subject away from your gas prices, from inflation, from supply chain, baby formula, shortages. They don't want the American people to talk about that. They want them to focus on their witch hunt January 6th theatrics instead. So that's why they subpoena McCarthy and four of my other colleagues. And I've been saying all along, Pat, there's only one member of Congress. There's only one person in the United States Capitol who's covered up anything related to January 6th. And that cover-up is being done by Nancy Pelosi, who has documents in her office about her negligence leading up to January 6th, why they didn't secure the Capitol, and her role and responsibilities related as Speaker of the House to Capitol security. There are documents that a bipartisan investigation of the Senate asked for, and she refused to hand over to that investigation. We should subpoena that. We should learn more about what happened along the way where the National Guard was called off and not brought to the Capitol to bring security and order when the riot was occurring. I think we learn a lot more from that than the political messaging that this sham committee has been focused on. Obviously, the Democrats aren't going to subpoena Nancy Pelosi, but always remember back when I was appointed by Kevin McCarthy to be the ranking member of this January 6th committee, Benny Thompson, the chairman, said that Nancy Pelosi is off limits. She said nobody's off limits. Then he said a couple days later, he said, but Nancy Pelosi's off limits. Well, why is she off limits? It's because she's got something to hide.
Yep.
There's a cover up here. So.
Well, I've had people write me, Congressman, and I had somebody say in this article, Nancy Pelosi does not have oversight over the day-to-day operations of the Capitol Police. If we follow the paper trail, and I'm not talking about of January 6th, the paper trail of obligation and of authority, do the Capitol Police not respond to the people who are responsible to Nancy Pelosi? I mean, isn't that part of what Speaker of the House is?
Yes, she has direct oversight role, and she appoints the members of the Capitol Police Board who oversee the Capitol Police. So there's nobody in the United States Capitol that has more oversight authority into the Capitol Police than what she does. That's why this is an important conversation. Also, you know, not only did Benny Thompson say she was off limits, but remember, this is what Jim Jordan and I were asking this exact question.
Yep.
Leading up to the days when right before she axed us and prevented us from serving on that committee as the minority representative. So she did not want me on that committee because I was asking questions about her roles, her responsibilities, and documents that she's covered up along the way. Instead, they're subpoenaing McCarthy and Republicans because they want to distract and and take the attention away from their failures and the crisis after crisis that they're building up on their watch. They should be subpoenaing Nancy Pelosi instead.
Congressman, I know we've gone through three. I've got one more. I have a fourth subject I'd like to bring up, and this is the last one. But people, it's getting now, Congressman, that when people know it's Thursday and you're going to be on the program, you should see my email box. Ask him this, ask him that. One person is asking, and I did want to ask you about this myself, about the World Health Organization, about these treaty amendments that we're hearing about. Is it true or is it not true that there are some amendments that are being presented that would turn over, at least partially, U.S. sovereignty over our health response and hand it over to the World Health Organization?
It is true. The Democrats are advancing initiatives like that. They would give up our sovereignty to these international organizations like the WHO, and we can't let them do it. But with Pelosi in charge of the House and Schumer in charge of the Senate and Joe Biden and all the radicals in charge of the White House, that we're seeing a movement to give more authority and power to the WHO, which is at this point a tool of the Chinese Communist Party.
Yes.
Our biggest adversary, our biggest enemy, who's not been held accountable at all for their negligence that allowed that and led to the spread of COVID-19 to
sure.
begin with, and that the Democrats are fully willing to do that. Why? Because they are entangled with Chinese Communist Party interest. The Democrat Party today is controlled by multinational corporate interest, Wall Street interest, that will hand over a rollover for China every day of the week. And the Republicans are on the side of the working men and women who were trying to save their jobs from being taken by China and sent to China, and holding China accountable. And a big part of our agenda when we get the majority back is to focus on that. But it is absolutely true that these issues are being advanced by the Democrats, by those in power, to give more of our autonomy and authority away to our adversaries.
If that were to happen before the end of this year, that some of that's signed over, is that something that with a Republican majority waltzing in January, that some of that could be reached in and undone?
Well, maybe. At the end of the day, we're still going to have Joe Biden or a Democrat in the White House. So they do have some authority here that would be hard to, it'll be harder, but yes, we can use our leverage, hold them accountable, use our oversight power. When Jim Jordan is chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, and Jamie Comer, my colleague from Kentucky, is in charge of the Oversight Committee, and we have other Republicans in charge of these committees with subpoena power and oversight authorities, we can go after the administration for issues like these. I hope that we will.
Yeah, it'll be very, very incredible. And there are some of them, sir, that when they do not win re-election, or when they win their re-election from their district, but they are not going to be in power because their party doesn't, and they do some great big tearful cry as they resign from the House of Representatives, let's don't forget, we can also subpoena people who are no longer in power.
That's right. Accountability needs to be applied across the board. And,
yep.
and so far, there's just been a complete lack of accountability with Democrats in control. They've not held the Biden administration accountable at all, and I promise you that we will.
My very best to Amanda and your girls, and of course to you and to the great guys and gals that work in your office. They are amazing and get information to us every time we ask, and I appreciate it. So best to you. I look forward to talking to you again next Thursday. Congressman Jim Banks, representing Indiana's most conservative district, Indiana's third. Congressman Banks, thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Pat. Have a good day.
Podcasts by Federated Media.